Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, July 31st of 2023. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live, and I gotta say, I can't believe that it's the last day of July, and it's gonna be August tomorrow. Summer is flying by, right before our eyes, and before we know it, it's gonna be fall. Don't want to say autumn like that because I think autumn's such a cool name. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm sad it's coming. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Why did they name it autumn? I don't know.
You're right, though. It's a very cool name.
Why would they name it after such a cool person's name?
I think the people are named after the season.
Well, I guess you're right. But, I mean, I feel like fall for the season name sounds more appropriate because it's exactly what happens is the temperatures fall.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, just like the Jenga.
Yeah.
Yeah, I take it off, it stays. You take it off, it falls. Why? Because I win.
You always win.
By the way, that's beside the point. Honestly, that's beside the point right now. I do want to thank you for tuning in, to be honest with you. And I've got to say, man, it was an amazing invasion conference. God moved. Lives were changed forever. I want to thank you for those who prayed for it. And it was great to see all the lives that were changed. And, I even interviewed, some people Wednesday night, when I was live on the air, and I found out we found out what invasion really meant to certain people and what it was about. And one of them was a youth that it was their first time ever at invasion. I'm kidding. No, I am not kidding. It was literally their first year coming to invasion for that group, a group out of Alabama. And it was their first year at Invasion.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, that was so cool. And to be able to get, these different perspectives. We had different people who had grown up at Invasion. Some from Invasion when it first started. Like a couple of them were teenagers back in the year 1996 when Invasion was first launched. Actually, the last year, I have a story. Speaking of 1996 invasion, I have a story to tell you guys about that. So, does it involve me being at that invasion? No, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, I wasn't there. I was told it was in the old youth center, for one thing. And don't know how we missed it, but we weren't there. But for invasion number two, I was there. At that point, I did not know that it was invasion number two, but it was in the sanctuary this time, and I remember they had a concession, like where you could grab like a pop and stuff, and that's what we got mostly was like a pop and like maybe a slice of pizza, whatever, but they had these blow-up toys that you could play on, like a moonwalk and some things like that, and that was pretty cool. And then as the years went by, they added more and more things, and trophies and sports and different things like that, and it's just grown. But the story that I want to tell you is, so they did the song Jesus Freak that was popular in, turned out to be the 1990s. I thought it came out in like the year 2000. Because I remember first hearing it in like 2000 or so. But turns out the song was released in 1995. Like August 1st, 1995, basically. So it's essentially going to be 28 years old.
That's so crazy to think.
Yeah, it is. But part of it, part of what was in it was, parts of the first invasion, but no audio from it. But it was a bit of like what Josh Barclay looked like in 1996 when it was launched. And he would have been like a 19, 20-year-old, very young person.
Mm.
And so, he's his number has increased in age, but, it's been great to see how it's grown. And he has followed the call of God. It was God that led him to start doing these invasion youth conferences and now youth and young adults conferences. You know, it was God that called him to do that. And then God told him, when you do these, you make them fun.
Amen.
Yep, that's literally what he told him. You make them cool, you make them fun, but you also, draw them into my presence. Pastor didn't say that. God did. God told him. And so he's been faithful to that ever since. Even though, he's, 46 now. He's not exactly a young person. But, he's still obeying God. And from what I know, he's going to keep doing them until God tells him not to. Until God tells him not to. He's going to keep doing them. I'm serious. He's going to keep doing them until God tells him. Because he has a heart for young people. He really does. In the name of Jesus, this will not be the lost generation. A lost generation. This will not be a generation that goes ultra woke in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because invasion is needed now more than ever. Which is part of why I thank God that that place was packed out with young people that were seeking after God. It was great to watch. It was great to see. I love that. I mean, I go up there and scream myself, and I love it. I love it. I really do. And I love getting things from the spoon. I really do. Josh says, that other than Jesus, his favorite part of invasion is the spoon.
I think that's a lot of people's answer.
That's why the spoon line is so long after every night service.
Right.
Because the spoon is the rave. Every year at invasion, the spoon is part of the rave. It is. Many years ago, since I was super popular or like a big reason why someone might come somewhere or whatever, they used to say it's the rage. Or like it's super cool. Now, from what I understand, a lot of them will say it's the rave. You've heard that too, haven't you?
I haven't, but I can understand why they would.
Well, they would say, yeah, it's the rave. It's the, it's cool. It's groovy. Or way back when they would say it's groovy. Or sometimes they'll say it's bussin'. Have you heard that too?
I haven't. That's unique.
Yeah, it is. It is different, but they'll say, yeah, it's the rave. One of my favorites personally is these cheese fries that they have there. You say, do you do chili on the cheese fries? No, just regular cheese fries. Yep. And I like me some, root beer float, some ice cream, maybe some nachos and chips, some mott sticks. I got me one of those.
Ooh.
Yes. Great stuff like that for which the spoon has become known. And I honestly wish we could stop the spoon at the fair. I really wish that.
Oh, that would be so cool.
With the spoon's prices, mind you. Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, just set up all the stuff from Invasion. Set it up at the fair. Yeah. I mean, the spoon. Not all the other stuff. Not the stage. Not the stage on that. No, I'm not saying we're bringing it all over invasion. Nope, just the spoon. And we have the food there, you know, on that. And I think maybe it would be the most popular food place there would be the spoon. Don't you?
I do.
I bet you they would all go to the spoon. Unless they wanted some elephant ears, you know. Then they'd go get their elephant ear because right now, because the spoon used to have elephant ears, but then they quit doing it. They in like 09, they switched to doing bread bites. But anyhow, it was great to see, you know, people, you know, being delivered from different things, delivered from drug addiction, delivered from, I don't know how many people got delivered from drugs or anything, but there were people who were delivered from addictions, people who were, you know, freed from who had experienced, you know, thoughts of suicide, and those, that was prayed over, and things like that, people being delivered from that kind of stuff, people being delivered from anxiety and depression, people being delivered from, you know, all that kind of stuff was called out, even, you know, if you're confused about what gender you are and that, what have you. That was specifically called out, like you could be that one, whatever, but if you're confused about who you might be, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you prayed over, like, not trying to signal anyone out or whatever, but all these different things. God, you know, the altar, I believe the altar was very impactful this last week. The altar was not only full, it was powerful.
Amen.
His lives were changed for better, you know. And I believe God just, you know, did things in these young people and these youth leaders and even in others who had attended. Hey, 2022 invasion, a four-year-old got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Aww.
Which I thought, you know, at a watching the stream. Streaming a conference that wasn't necessarily quote unquote for them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, streaming a conference that was for young people but not at that age, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Yeah, like more for like youth and young adults, not like little 4-year-old kids.
Right.
If you know what I mean. But he asked his mom, the kid asks her mom, like, you know, can I do this Holy Spirit thing, Soul Ghost thing? And mom's like, well, yeah. And so she did. Got filled with the Holy Ghost, watching the stream. And that was so cool. Because I heard that report before the service even ended. On Wednesday night of Invasion 22.
Aww.
And that was so cool. And he was revived, and I think God revived many people. Even though in the natural, people were feeling more, a little more tired than what they had felt. In fact, the last night of Invasion, they only did one fast song, that, you know, right before they closed, instead of like three, like they had done the previous 2 years or so. So I think what happened was, like, their spirit was revived, but their natural body was tired.
Mm.
How that happens, I don't know. You know?
Right.
But in the name of Jesus, their natural bodies will also be revived. And maybe next year, you know, on the last night, you know, the leaders in that won't feel so tired.
Hopefully.
Because in my mind, on the last night, we bounced our way out of that place with like three or four fast songs, not just one. You know, and like how it's supposed to be, you know, and because I love all that, you know, all that. But fitting, the last song of the night was Jesus Freak.
Nice.
Yeah, yes, which I thought was appropriate. And hey, let me tell you. Someone comes up to me and says, you're a Jesus freak, aren't you? You know what I'm going to say? I'm not going to be afraid of it. I'm not going to go, what? Did they just label me? did they just put this bad label on me? No. Well, I don't know. What will they do? What will they think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? Well, hopefully they'll want it.
You know what I would say if someone called me Jesus freak?
What?
I would say, aw, thank you.
I'd be like, thank you. Yeah, because there's that old song, what will people do when they learn that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find that it's true? Yeah, because it is true. And I remember when I was little, before I even heard that song, there was this little storybook or whatever called Jesus Freaks. You know? The funny thing was like a week or two later, I heard the song.
That is funny.
yeah, it was. And I thought it was also funny that I hadn't heard the song, really, until 5 years after they brought it out. 5 years. So no wonder I thought it was from around 2000.
Right.
When in fact it was from 1990, not 9, 8, 7, or 6, 5, 95. You say, why are we going to come backwards instead of forward? Further back, you know?
Right.
And so really, it was out weeks before I was even in kindergarten, before I even could really tell what year it was.
That's crazy.
Which was, in fact, in 1995. If I can finally tell what year it was. It was 95. And the song came out before that. And that was the rave song of Invasion. Because it was first played the third night. And that was the one they went most crazy for. I thought it would have been Might Get Loud, like what it was last year. Which, you know. And if you sing a song about Might Get Loud, it should get loud. But Jesus Freak got even louder, which shocked me. And honestly, in a way, you almost would have, being how loud the music was, you would have thought they would have screamed a little more from Might Get Loud than what they did. Wouldn't have you?
Right.
You would have honestly thought it, like as far as the kids screaming, you would have thought it would have been louder for Might Get Loud, you would have thought?
Yeah.
Like they were up there for whatever reason, but it's like for some reason they just weren't quite as loud as you would have thought.
Right.
And why, you don't know. I wish I had recorded when they'd hit, but, you know, sometimes I just think it's cool to take little snippets of that or certain songs or whatever, and, you know, kind of record them and stuff. And I have recordings, actually, from 9 invasions all in a row, including this past one. 9. Isn't that incredible?
That is.
No, that means like of the 27, I have 9 of them. I'm sure nobody on their phone has all 27.
Probably not.
You know, I would like to see some, you know, sermons and that and things and songs from previous invasions put on YouTube and stuff. But by previous, I mean like some of the rather old ones, like from when I was a youth and even before that. You know, and there was a couple of songs that were done Thursday night, the same night as Jesus Freak, that were done from when I was a youth. One was from like 08, another was from 07. Yeah, background. Yeah, so like 15, 16 years ago. Some of these kids now were not born. They were not born when those came out. But those worship team leaders, you know, two of them were youth at the time. You know?
Right.
So it makes sense why they would go to that back to that day, you know, as opposed to some other time like, and then, you know, maybe for Josh partly. I wonder if Josh basically tried to get him to do Jesus Freak. I wonder.
That's a good question.
And then, really? VeggieTales? I didn't see that coming. I did not see that coming. I thought that was funny.
Most definitely.
I mean, like, that was, I mean, so was interesting. So you know, so amidst all the, you know, people getting saved and delivered and that, there was also, you know, theatricals behind it, you know, little things like that, you know, and And it was great to see people worship and worship God, you know, and that. And hopefully it becomes an attitude, you know, an attitude of gratitude for what God's done. And I pray that these young people are taking that spirit back to their churches. Because true revival is not just what happened at Invasion. True revival is what happens, you know, in our lives, in our churches. Also, another thing on that. Revival is not just what happens in your church. It's not. I mean, it's great when people, when there's miracles, people being delivered, people being set free, all that kind of stuff. That's great. That happens in revival, all the, you know, as it should be. But true revival is in us, us seeking after God, us hungry, us, you know, always wanting to be there whenever the doors are open.
Amen.
That's what true revival looks like. Not just people being set free, delivered, people falling out on the floor, services that go to midnight. You know, and different things like that. It's not, you know, and some of that can be, you know, and speaking of that, my pastor had to learn to quit when God said quit. He did, you know, because when God has done everything he wants to do, you know.
Right.
Because all that other stuff can seem so great and so, you know, but, you know, people laughing, crying, you know, things like that, you know, they're, you know, when you hear these sounds, when you're in church and hear these sounds, it's not something to be afraid of. It means God's doing things. And, you know, from what I was told, the young people were taught on, like, what revival is, and like that it starts within us. It starts within us. That it's not just a preacher screaming in the pulpit, bring revival in the name of Jesus. Now, I mean, that's great when they do that, but ultimately it starts in us and us hungering for the things of God. And of course, in order to be revived, you have to first be vibed, of course. That means like a hunger for him, like what you had when you first gave your life to Christ. Because, you know, yeah, unless one, I mean, you know, I was super little when I got born again. But for those who are adults, you know, when you're giving your life to Jesus, you're hungry for the things of God. You love him. You're just on fire. You want more and more and more, you know.
Right? Amen. Yeah.
But then sometimes it can be all too easy, you know, as time goes by, for us to kind of cool off, or that newness to kind of wear off and be like, you know, I still love him, and maybe he's even my first love, but today I got this, today I got that, you know? Like, but not like that, like maybe you still have some fire, but not like what you once did. And then when you get that, like, revival spark hitting you, you got that fire back.
Amen.
You know? And, like, that's what true revival looks like. And so, and I pray for some of you parents that some of you young people, that your young people, or some of your young people, if you're listening, pray that you, like, told your parents, you know, what you learned, and maybe even testify. Because that's great. And I'm praying that in my church even we'll hear some testimonies of what God did in the young people, because it was great. I want to thank you for those who prayed over it. And it was a blast doing my first ever show at Invasion. And I plan to do more of these. I plan to do more of these there. Like, I plan to do it again next year. I do. This time, you know, we'll do a little bit earlier. This time, you know, but then again, you know, when you, but then again, you know, you're still just kind of, you know, because you'll never know until you ask, if you know what I mean. But it was fun. I would totally do it again. An interview of, you know, some of these young people, some of these people who have been to previous ones and what have you, because it was great, and it was just great to see like 1,000 young people, just about 1,000 of them, just about 1,000, seeking God the way they did. It was pretty impressive. But anyhow,
6:55 p.m.
So real quick, a couple quick housekeeping things, and we're back to normal until further notice. I thought I should let you know that. And normal is so you can tell other people, for any newbies that might be listening tonight, newbie meaning maybe it's your first time. Normal for us is that the show is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 6:30 to 8 or so. Sometimes we get done a little bit sooner. But generally, it's scheduled to run 6:30 to 8, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, just to give you an idea of what normal looks like. So, yeah, until further notice, we're back to normal. And then the two normal things I try to bring to your attention. Number one, and by the way, I don't do these just for the sake of being repetitive. I do these because sometimes there are new people listening, and I want, you know, those of you who are new to know how you can avail yourself to a couple different things. One is the book that we wrote. The other is how you can sow your seed into this program. So first of all, I want to remind you about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been. And, you know, the different things that I've conquered through him. And, you know, and I just celebrated my birthday, my 34th birthday, about a week and a half ago. But I don't quite feel it. I don't quite feel it yet. And hey, I don't think that's a bad thing either. But, and that, by the way, though, they say old is a mentality, you know, but regardless, you know, the book is called Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been, all the different things he brought me through, including all the medical stuff, you know. And we still go through stuff, you know, as you go through life, you know, you just fight life through. And, you know, something, it might feel like we're surrounded, but we can be surrounded by God. It may feel like we're surrounded. And we fight our battles with Jesus, through
Amen.
Jesus.
Yes.
That's how I fight mine.
Amen.
It's through him. And yes, there's battles. But, you know, we can be surrounded by him instead of feeling surrounded by all this other stuff and all these adversaries and all these other stuff and all this crud and all that crud and all the, you know, this and that's and isms and isms and wisdoms and what, you know?
Right.
And all that. Okay, the last part I made up, but nonetheless, but in all seriousness, you know, God's on our side. God's fighting for us. He's lighting up the kingdom. It can't be shaken. No, it can't. But you can go online to riversofmiracles.com. That is rivers with an I, riversofmiracles.com. to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles, and how it can be a blessing into your life. And hey, when you buy the book and get through reading it, why not give it to someone else? But furthermore, why don't you buy a few books? At least a couple.
Pass them out.
Buy several, you know.
Great.
Buy one for yourself. Nobody, we don't want everybody to do their Christmas shopping in July. But nonetheless, come December, get out there and shop and buy your stuff in December, folks.
And a book is a wonderful gift.
Yes. And don't always be shopping on, and don't always be getting it off of Amazon on the 23rd of December, because you might not get it at your house by December 25th. But I digress. All seriousness though, they do make great presents whether you decide to do your Christmas stuff now or not. But they make great gifts, you know, for a birthday or, yes, Christmas, even if you if you so aren't inclined to get ahead of the crew, you know. But yeah, it's great, you know, buy these books, you know, and even if you buy them now but end up giving some later in December, you know, yeah, even then, I don't believe in God for one more of these books to be sold, and I sure am. My mom wrote the book, the instruction of, you know, she felt led to write the book, and, you know, she wasn't sure, you know, how she could be such a writer, you know, and that, but, you know, God helped her do it, you know, she did it. It wasn't easy, but she did it, and I thank God that she did it.
Did you tell them about where to sow their seed?
The sowing your seed, that's the other announcement. The sowing your seed, you can go online to paypal.com. That is paypal.com in order to sow your seed. And when you get on paypal.com, what you will do is you will see a search bar. In that search bar, you'll type in Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And then Shukla is S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. So I just want you to be made aware of that. The number two thing related to that is that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. And I just wanted you to be made aware. Or be in the know, as they say. K-N-O-W, not N-O, but you know. So you can feel free to go on there and sow your seed. Get in there, type in Rivers. There's a space between Rivers and Shukla also. And the first on Rivers and the S in Shukla capitalized. So just make a note of that, please. And then the verse I want to sow into your life as you sow your seed is, therefore my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. It's based on his riches and glory. It's not based on all this other stuff. Not based on the Dow Jones, Mike Jones, Jim Jones, or any of the other Joneses. Nope. It's according to his riches and glory, not all that other stuff. And I want to say thank you to Laura from here in Michigan, and Natalia from Honduras visiting Michigan. Want to thank you both for your continued support. I'm believing for more and more listeners to join in sowing their seed and helping keeping this thing going. And as you sow your seed, I always pray that you get blessed in return for sowing your seed into the program and to the preaching of the gospel and taking this to more and more people, more and more nations. Because Bible says, go to all the world and preach the gospel. And even if, you know, you're not an evangelist who, you know, goes on an airplane and goes to all these different countries and goes on a boat and goes to all these other countries. Because, you know, Jesus, he used a boat. He didn't have an airplane he could use. He didn't have an airplane. He didn't have a bus. He didn't have a train. He didn't have a car. He had a boat. His boat was his evangelistic tool. His disciples were his assistants, his ushers, his armor bearers, his, yeah, you know. And yeah, he had a great team. And they were just awesome. So, but now I'm going to sing a couple of songs and then get into the word of the Lord. If you would please queue up song one if you have it.
Yep. Just getting into the playlist.
God, we live for you. You have called us out of darkness into light so glorious. God, we live for you. We live for you. God, we run with passion for your name. We run. Our God will not be moved. Our God will never be shaken. We run, we run, we run. We run to you, we run. You, we are a chosen generation, build a holy nation. God, we live for you. You have called us out of darkness into light so glorious. God, we live for you. We run. The passion for your name, we run. We run. The passion for your name, we run. Freedom. Broken everything, we run. Our God will not be moved. Our God will never be shaken. We run to you, we run. We are a chosen generation. Rise up, holy nation. God, we live for you. You have called us out of darkness into light so glorious. God, we live for you. We, our God will not be moved. Our God will never be shaken. Our God will not be moved. Our God will never be shaken. Our God will not be moved. Our God will never be shaken. We run to you, we run. We are chosen generation. Rise up, holy nation. God, we live for you. You have called us out of darkness into light so glorious. We live for you. For you. We live for you. We live for you. Oh, you. We live for you. Yes, we live for you. Yes. We are chosen generation. Rise up, holy nation. God, we live for you. Yes. God, we live for you. When you have called us out of darkness into light so glorious, God, we live for you. Chosen generation, rise up, holy nation. God, we live for you. You have called us out of darkness into light so glorious. God, we live for you.
for you. We live for you. God, we live for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Number two.
Chosen.
Jesus at the center.
Sorry, thank you.
Jesus at the center of it all. 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 From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. You're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. Yes, Jesus, tell me the center of it all. Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. From my heart to the heaven, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heaven, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. To be the center, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heaven, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Nothing else matter, center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heaven, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. To the heaven, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heaven, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heaven, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heaven, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, number three. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring life to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Yeah, yeah. You give life. You are love. You bring life to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's just in our lives. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Holy Spirit, in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Holy. Yes, we do. We praise you. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. with your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, only it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, only. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master, for what you are to us, for what you've done in us, for what you're going to do in our lives. And thank you that it is your breath in our lungs. Great are you and greatly to be praised. Great is your name. Great is your faithfulness. Thank you tonight for all of these people who have decided to tune into this program tonight to learn of your ways. Your ways. And what you have for them. What you've designed for them to do. Thank you, Master, that you just put your hand on them. And that you just comfort them. And I thank you for this word tonight, and that these people have ears to hear this word tonight, and that they can focus on you, focus on your word, and not be focused on all these other things that are going on in their life, whatever it might be, whether it be good or bad, that they would be focused on you tonight. And so thank you for this message, that these people have ears to hear it and minds ready to understand it, and that they won't be swayed, that they won't be distracted, and that they'll just be ready for what you have for them tonight.
Amen.
Yeah. In your mighty name. And I make my confession over this program, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that more and more listeners tune into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn with me, if you would please, in your Bible to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. Amen. Thank God for the word of God.
Amen.
Thank
yeah.
God. Lord, you see, we have something that the people of old, by of old I mean people, you know, like even Jesus' disciples, they didn't have exactly a full-blown Bible that they could read that talked about having faith in Jesus. They didn't have that Bible that they could read that talked about having faith in Jesus, did they?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, so they couldn't, you know, they could go back and look at like Isaiah and that, but they couldn't look at, you know, how to have faith. So where we have the full Bible that we're able to look at. And it's amazing. Time and time again, you know, it's been disputed, you know, and all these different things and all these different facts, you know, but time and time again, science has proven it true. Time and time again, it's been scrutinized, dissected, but it's been found to be true. So that's how we know that this word is true. That's how we know it is.
Amen. Yeah.
And it's great to find comfort in that, knowing that all of his promises, every promise he put in there for us, is yes and amen. It's not, I like to tease and say, it's yes and amen. It's not maybe and I guess.
Right.
God didn't sit there on his throne and decide, I'm getting old, and I guess I just remembered I'm going to do this for my people. No, he didn't sit there. He's not up there doing the I guess thing.
Right. No, he knows for sure.
He knows for sure. He's not doing, because many people, you know, here on the earth, they'll be talking, you know, and even in their speech bubble, they say, well, I guess, or, you know.
Right.
Like they know, but they'll just say, I guess, the figure of speech. God doesn't sit up there in heaven and do the I guess thing.
Right.
No. He knows. Because he knows everything. He's not sitting up there guessing.
And how grateful should we be that he is that way?
Yeah, amen. And that he is the I am. And you know something? I am the I am because the I am tells me who I am.
Ooh. Confusing, yeah. But I like it.
The I am. God is our I am. And he tells us who we are.
Yes. Amen.
That's how that factors in.
Amen.
So, because at first you're like, wait, what?
Yes.
But being I said that, it all adds up to something.
It's true.
I am who I am because the I am, which is God, told us who we are.
I'm so grateful he loves us enough to do that.
Yes. And that's how it factors in, and that makes it easy to remember. So your brain will take that and make it so difficult, when in reality it's so easy. You know? The I am tells me who I am. By the way, one year that was one of the themes of Invasion. Back in 2015, the theme was I am. And so, but nonetheless, I'm in 1 Kings 17. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to look at Elijah being fed by the ravens and how, you know, and we're going to read the story. I'm going to start with verse 1. And by the way, if you haven't found it yet, you know, you can go to New Convert class, I guess. Okay. I'm not going to send you that this season. But in the last verse 1, now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word. Well, most of us would not want to hear that. We would not want to hear that there would be no dew, no rain, you know, because otherwise our mind goes to, how are we going to eat? How are we going to drink water? What are we going to do? What are we going to do to eat? What are we going to, you know? Verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here quickly. I mean, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So it's not like he had this big menu of things to eat. That very day-to-day, you know, different meats, you know, different, you know, spreads, you know, different fruits or vegetables of the day, and maybe even some desserts and things like that, and different sandwiches and things. No. He didn't have like a varied diet like what we, no way, because, you know, there's nothing to eat in that, you know. but verse 7, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in the place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow and they're gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I can have a drink? For she was going to get it. As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have, turn to the page, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me. Or you say, make me my cake first. Make me my cake from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. This gets good. Pay attention. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. And the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry. In keeping with the word of the Lord spoken to Elijah, sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse, finally stopped breathing. And she said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son, Elijah replied. She took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, oh Lord my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow that I'm staying with by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, oh, Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Isn't that great? He lived. He did. And Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, look, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. See, listeners, see that? We just proved again that the Bible is true. Because that woman, you know, at the end of that chapter, that woman was going through some stuff. She was going through terrible, something absolutely terrible. Her son had stopped breathing. Imagine you have kids of your own, Jade, and they stop breathing. Oh boy. But yeah, she was going through something terrible. Her son had stopped breathing. You know, she's like, and then Elijah wonders for a second. He's like, oh God, have you brought tragedy on this house, on the woman that I'm staying with? And then she goes, lays out on the boy, and he, you know, lays on him, you know, three different times, And guess what? Life comes to him. Goes downstairs, takes the kid to his mama, and mama's sitting there, and mama's like, you know, now I know that you are a man of God because you brought my son back to life. And so, but before that, you know, we see multiple different miracles that happen in this chapter. First of all, you know, in the midst of the circumstance of God saying, you know, that there would be no dew, no rain in the land for years. There'd be no rain on the ground. Nothing wet would be on the ground. Nothing wet. It would be dry. Imagine how your grass would look after that. Chances are you probably wouldn't have any.
Right.
Especially after years. You'll feel nothing wet. And you'll be like, if I could just have a water. If I could just have some kind of water or something that's wet. But there isn't any. And that, but then, you know, God tells him, you know, you go to the valley, you know, to this valley and drink of the brook. I've given you ravens. The ravens are going to feed you. God had provision planned for Elijah. He had provision planned out. Jehovah Jireh is your provider. Jehovah Jireh is your provider. Yes, he is. It's not just something that I just said. It's not just something from a song that, you know, from back in the day, where we would sit there and go, Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. Like to try to make it sound like it rhymed or what have you, made it sound cool. It's true. Jehovah Jireh is the provider. Just like Jehovah Rapha is the healer. And so sometime later the brook dries up and the ravens stop bringing the food. And then he goes, God tells him where to go next. You know, go to this certain person's house, go to this widow's house, go to this town where this widow lives. And so he goes there and she's like, I'm gathering sticks, I'm gonna take these home. I'm trying to gather the flour, you know, and that so that I can have just enough to feed me and my son. So that we can eat this cake of bread, this pancake, and die. Because when you visualize it like that, is that basically what comes to mind as a pancake?
Yes.
It's, and by the way, this is a plain pancake. It's not one of these blueberry chocolate chip pancakes like this morning.
What?
No, it's not. It's a plain pancake.
Oh, man.
It's a plain pancake. And by the way, it's not buttermilk. It's not super fluffy either, like the way my helper Laura makes them. Nope, it's not. It's not like that. But nonetheless, you know, here's what that is. So, anyhow, but he tells her something powerful. The jar of oil will not run out. It will not fail. The jug will not fail either. There will be enough food. There will be enough food. You know what? There was, in fact, enough food until it rained. There was enough food. There really was enough food. You know why? Because God kept providing. God told Elijah that it would not run out. You see, even when you're going through these rough circumstances like what Elijah was going through. And let me tell you, you know, when it's not going to rain, you know, in those days, it's like, it'd be like, you know, and even now, you know, we got to have water and that. And even now, you know, we have to have, the water has to, you know, even in our cities now, the water has to come from somewhere. So it has to rain somewhere, of course. Even though water is piped in, you know, and that, water has to come from somewhere, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine, like, if in this country it never rained for years. Then you go, well, what do we do now? Then we'd be in the whole thing of what do we do now? So Elijah's, like, in this place, and he's thinking, what do I do now? You know, God, what do I do? You know, how am I going to survive? How am I going to live? What am I going to do? God, I had a plan worked out. And, you know, and it did work out. You see, God makes all things work together for your good. He really does. You don't have to worry about it. You know, we'll go through certain things. You know, if you live on the earth, you go through things, you know, and you might feel, you know, pressured and hassled or whatever. But don't be living in fear. Fear will not help you. Fear will not help you. Living in fear will not help you. In fact, it's only going to do the opposite. It's going to hurt you. Isn't that the truth? That's all it's going to hurt you.
Yes.
But you know, imagine if Elijah, rather than being obedient, decided to be in fear. Well, what if she doesn't, you know, what if she tries to, you know, say the opposite? What if she tries to tell me all this other stuff? Oh, what do I do? You know, like that's what fear sounds like, feels like. But, you know, God had a plan for Elijah. And then through all that, through him staying with her, got to see a miracle happen. Another miracle happened. The miracle healing of her son, who had gotten sick and then was healed. You know? And it wasn't just Elijah doing that little exercise thing that he did. The thing of, you know, laying on him three times and what have you. Like this silly exercise thing. You know what that was? That was the miracle working power of God. I believe that's what that was. Don't you? Amen. It was the miracle working power of God being made manifest. After Elijah had sat there, you know, and like watching him, you know, lifeless on that bed. But then God healed him. You know, on Invasion, it was real cool. So Wednesday night, Josh teaches on Lazarus, you know, and God like raising people up, reviving. And so Lazarus, you know, who he loved, was sick, you know, on the bed, and he died. But then, you know, so he's talking, you know, about, you know, different people in the Bible, including the guy in the Bible who had four different guys help him. They were carrying that guy on his bed. The guy was paralyzed. They get to the church. They get to the little synagogue thing where Jesus is. It's packed. Here's what they could have done, but I'm glad they didn't. Well, sorry, sir. Do you see this place? It is packed. It is packed. There is no way we're getting in here. Well, you say, why did I say packed like that? It was big time packed. Like, it was that capacity. It was... As some might say, it was packed up to the hizzy. Have you ever heard that before? In other words, that thing was to the max. It was maxed out. No way anybody else getting in. Not through the door, nothing. I think it's safe to assume there were maybe a few people outside trying to get in. But then they're thinking, well, what do we do? And then they have this crazy idea. This crazy idea. So they decide to dig a hole in the roof. They decide to dig a hole in the roof, literally, dig a hole in the roof. And then one of them, they're strategizing and they're like, well, we can just get them down through the hole of the roof. Then maybe somehow we can just get him right down there in front of Jesus and he can be healed. So they take him for a ride up the roof, up through it, and then back down. So it's like he almost got a free roller coaster ride, right? Almost like that. He gets brought down and Jesus healed him. Right then, right there. So four men carrying someone who is on a bed turn to five men walking home. And they, because they had that faith. They had that faith. And he was healed. And then he referenced me. Like when he was referring to blind Bartimaeus, and he's like, well, we have a blind man here. You know, I'm sure he was, didn't call me out by name, but I'm sure that's what he meant, you know, was me. And obviously he knew I was there. I'm sure he saw me, you know, because other than Jesus, you know, and maybe a youth leader from up north or something, you know, and people from my church. You know, maybe because I'm from here, I'm one of the most frequent nightly attenders of Invasion. I've not missed a night of it since 01. I'm serious. I'm like as serious as it gets. What I mean by I'm serious, I mean I'm telling you the truth. That's what I meant by that. I'm telling you the truth. I have been to every night of it since 01. He pushed it, and then they show this video, and then a bed comes down from the ceiling, like a hospital bed type thing. I don't know how it was put up there, but it was lowered down through the tiles, and it came right down. Right as the video was being shown, and then Lazarus come forth, you know? So it was great to see the Word of God come to life like that, you know? And he's like, can these bones live again? That was taught Tuesday night. Can these bones live again? And, you know, part of revived means like new life. So it all tied together into new life, revived. And so isn't it cool like how it all just came together? Like, so these people could see, you know, like, this is how it works. But sometimes, you know, it's just great, you know, to see the reminder, like, how true this whole thing is. Do you see my phone?
It's on the table.
It's like, and we realize this whole thing is true. It is. It's not just some thing that was made up in some little storybook. The Word of God is true. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It really is. But you see, you know, my point in this is God is the miracle worker. God is not running out of miracles anytime soon. You just have to ask and believe, seek, find, wait on the Lord. He will do that miracle that you're believing for him to do for you. Yes, he will. As you seek him, as you wait on him, as you Because something happens when we shout. Something happens when we pray. Something happens when we dance. Something happens when we, you know, that was part of the conference. And then a good slogan came out Friday night: freedom looks good on you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, freedom looks good on you. It really does. And it was a pretty cool moment. All these people saying, you know, freedom looks good on you. Looking at someone going, yes, it does. It was cool to see that. Father, thank you for this word tonight. Thank you that we would always be able to trust in you, that we would, you know, that we would just be able to, when we have needs, to trust in you and not always feel afraid and be wondering, will you provide or won't you? Do you have my back or don't you? Do you even care about me, God? Thank you that you do care, that you do love us, and that you do have our best interest at heart. Thank you that we would be those who do your word and not just those who hear it, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for that, Master, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.